welcome friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm glad to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again. And I greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, friend, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. He came to be yours. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost, according to the book of Luke, chapter 19. And 10. Well, I hope this finds you well, but I do know that it finds you blessed. And I'll tell you what, friend, listen, I'm excited about the message God has laid on my heart. Excited about the song Debbie's just about ready to sing for us today. I'm just excited about the program altogether. I've opened my Bible, the book of Judges, chapter 16, and I'm going to read a couple of verses of scripture out of that. It's about a very familiar person, character, personality in the Bible by the name of Samson. And we're going to look and see how he parallels Christians of our day. You join with me in prayer, will you? And join with me, friend, as we prayerfully consider the message God has laid on our heart. Enjoy this I've Got It All from Debbie. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Just like that. The more I hear it, every time that I play it for you and share it with you, it just blesses my heart. And that goes right along with this message. I'm telling you, friend, listen, God has blessed us. He has given us everything that we need, friend, that pertains to life and godliness. The Word of God teaches us without a doubt. And listen, we can be successful Christians. We can be powerful Christians, but we've got to be separated Christians. Now look, the message is titled this, Are We Like Samson? Are we like Samson? Have we lost our power? And I'm afraid we have. I'm talking about a group of believers. I'm talking about people who are in Christ. I'm talking about people who have their names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. About a people, friend, who has been separated unto God, who have been sealed by the Spirit, who have been trusted with His Word. But I'm afraid, friend, were like a man to the name of Samson. And I'll tell you a little bit about him when we get on into this message. Do you remember what happened? You remember what happened to Samson down in a place called Sorek? When he had his head in the lap of a woman by the name of Delilah, she consorted with the enemy. They cut his hair, and this is the verse that I'm going to read for our text verse in verse 20 of chapter 16 of the book of Judges. How sad it is, how horrific this message is, how revealing. Listen, friend, we ought to take this seriously today. The Bible says, and she, meaning Delilah, said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out." Now watch this. "As at other times before, and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. You know what that says? Samson had lost his power. And I'm going to ask you something today. Are we the followers of Christ? Are we those folks who claim to be the church of Jesus Christ? And that is His body on planet earth from the head down. Are we like Samson? Are we thinking that we can just awake out of our sleep, awake out of our stupor? Hey, we've got our head in the lap of the enemy. Do we think we can stand up and be just like we always were? Friends, shake ourselves and just go and do. Listen, Samson was in trouble. He knew not. He knew not, the Bible said. He knew not that the Lord was departed from him. Now look, I'm going to say some things. May upset some people, but I hope it stirs their heart. I'm not saying things I'm going to say today to upset people. I am to challenge them. Paul said, look, to the church of Corinth, and I'll not get this perfectly quoted, but I'll give you the gist of it. Paul said, now look, I repented because I wrote these things to you. But then again, he said, I did not repent. And he said, I didn't write these things to hurt you, but I wrote them to help you. And this is why I'm preaching this message to you today. You that have willingly tuned in. You that God has moved to tune in. Listen, friend, I believe we're living in the last days, don't you? Oh, I could preach about a day right now on the things that I see taking place in the world, on the political stage, in our government, in our churches, in our homes, in our school throughout, friend. And I'm telling you, I'm afraid we're like Samson. I'm afraid the chosen of God. I'm afraid how the blood-washed, redeemed church of Jesus Christ has become like Samson. And here's the good news. We don't have to be like that way. We don't have to be that way. And if we are, thank God, there's a remedy. Listen, this story of Samson, as sad as it is, it ends on a great note. It ends on a high note. And hopefully this message will too. I'll tell you what, friend, we need power in our churches. We've got a lot of entertainment. We've got a lot of activities. I mean to tell you, I believe it was J. Vernon McGee said, look, we've got a lot of activity. I mean, we're as busy as termites and just as destructive, he said. But I want you to know, friend, it's not about what man can bring to the party. It's not about what man can do. Friend, listen, for God. But it's about what God can do for us. Oh, I'm telling you, brother. I'm telling you, sister. We need the power of God in our churches. We need the power of God on our lives. We need the power of God on our preaching, on our teaching, on our singing, on our testifying, on our praying, on our working, on our witnessing, on our living for Christ. We need the power of God on our life. Well, I'll tell you, where's it at today? I mean to tell you, where is the power of God in our churches today, on the members of our churches, those that name the name of Christ? Look, I don't doubt that people that claim Christ as their Savior, I'm not here judging anybody, will go to heaven, but I'll tell you what, I'm afraid a lot of us will go smelling like we come up through a fire sale. I'm afraid a lot of us will go through that beam of judgment, bless God, where our works will be tried by fire, and we'll get to heaven just like a pauper and a beggar. or we'll go in empty-handed. All we need, the power of God on our life. We need the power that the apostles had on their life. We need the power, bless God, that comes through the Holy Spirit breathing on us and through us and in us to do the work of Almighty God. Listen, without that, we're hopeless. Without that, we're powerless. Without that, we're helpless, because we're unworthy creatures of clay, friend. And oh, we need men of God. We need men of God with Pentecostal power upon them. And I'm not talking about Pentecostal stuff like this tongues movement is. That's not what I'm talking about. Now look, the story of Samson is amazing, is it not? Oh, it begins in chapter 13 and runs down through chapter 16. And oh, what a story it was. His parents were visited by angels, promised that they would have a son. He would be a deliverer of the people of Almighty God. Oh, it's a familiar story, is it not? I mean, it's loved by the ages. Of all ages, whether you're young or old, and yet Samson's life presents to us a great place to learn. I mean, to tell you, friend, it tells us many things maybe that we don't even want to hear about. But oh, let's see what we can learn from him. Let's pray right now and just say, God, open our hearts, our understanding, our mind and our ears, so that we might hear and receive with meekness that engrafted word that is able to save our soul. Hey, look, before I get on into the message, how many of you believe we need power in our churches? How many of you believe we need power in the pulpit, power in the pew? How many of you believe, friend, that listen, our education won't get it, our knowing how to do it won't get it done? Hey, friend, listen, we need that divine touch of God on us. Hey, that's why a lot of entertainment's going on in churches. Do you know that, instead of edification? I mean, to tell you, that's why things have been moved around. I'll probably say this again before the end of the message. I mean, we've gotten to be like old Ahaz. I preached on him last Sunday. You know what? There's some things wrong. Ahab moved an altar that God said, you build this way and do this and that on it. He got his own altar. He moved God's altar out of the way. He replaced the things of God with his thing. I'm persuaded that's happened far too many times in this church age today. However, let's think about Samson. My, had a great calling on his life. Listen, brother, sister, those of you that name and claim the name of Jesus, we've got the greatest calling on our life and that man has ever known. I know people are wanting to get in the White House. Whether you agree with me or not, thank God for Donald Trump. I don't agree with all of him, but I'll tell you what, friend, listen. I bless God, he's American. He's wanting to protect Christianity, freedom of speech, worship and religion. That's more than I can say for that group on the other side that I believe, because they kicked God out of their convention in 2012. You see the mess that they're in, the implosion that they're having. It's because they've ended up, wound up with a reprobated mind. They're in a mess, are they not? They're in a mess if they believe all that stuff that they purport and that they proclaim they're going to do and want to do. I'm telling you, friend, it's easy for me to see. Bless God that they're dealing with a reprobated mind. They kick God out. And when you kick God out, friend, that's all you've got. Do you hear this old country preacher? When you get rid of God, that's the kind of stuff that you end up with. Not only to have a great calling on his life, he had a unique birth. Thank God we've been born by the Spirit, by the water, and by the Word. Bless God, we've got a unique word too. He had great potential. Do you know that? I mean, I believe, according to what I read and see, he had the greatest potential of any judge of the, what, 7 or 8 that they had. Oh, he had great potential in that era, but he failed. He failed to reach his full potential. Do you think the opportunities God has set before this generation? Think of the possibilities we have. Think of how that we ought to be so intelligent and understanding understanding and bless God deeper in the Word of God, higher with the way of God, broader with the will of God than ever before. But there's a lot of Christian pygmies, I'm afraid, running around illiterate on the things of God. I'm not trying to be mean and ugly. I'm just trying to tell you what I think I see. You can agree or disagree. That's all right. But listen, God's called me to preach today and not you. Look. Seemed like to me that old Samson seemed to have difficulty taking his vows seriously, like he toyed with them some degree. I'm afraid a lot of people are toying with Christianity. Listen, friend, we've been chosen by God. And in the book of John, chapter 17, and Jesus said, "Now look, Father, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. Thank God we've been called to separate ourselves like Samson was, that Nazarite. We've been called to separate ourselves unto God." Isn't that right? I mean, a Nazarite was separated or set apart to the Lord. And so are we. Look, I'm getting ahead of myself, but time's running out. And have got to do this. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Man, I want you to read that. I want you to read that prayerfully. I want you to read that repetitively and see what God says to us. We're living in a time when people think they can name a name of Christ and live in a place called Sorek. And that's what it says in Judges 16 and 4. He was down at a place called Sorek. And you know what I can find about Sorek? It was a place that was right between the land of Israel and the land of the Philistines. And the picture there is this. At the time when Samson lost his strength and he didn't know it, he was living as close to the world as he could and just as close to the nation of Israel. In other words, he was on the borderline. He wasn't fired up. He wasn't on fire. Bless God, he was there at a place that was precarious for him, dangerous for him, and he wasn't about to do anything about it. And listen to what he said in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Know ye not that the beginning of the verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And he's going to tell us who the unrighteous are. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, and nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. John gives us a list over in the Revelation of those who will be a part of those who burn in the lake of fire. I'm telling you, Paul and Timothy tells us something, or Titus 3 tells us something similar to this. But I read those verses to get to this. Look at verse 11. Paul was talking about the church of Corinth. Those believers, that bunch of people that said, I proclaim and profess Christ as my Savior. Paul said, and such, listen now, and such were some of you. I'm not an English major. I've messed it up every time I open my mouth. But I want you to know were is past tense. Paul said if you're in Christ, you should no longer be any of these things. A deceiver, a fornicator, an idolater, an adulterer, effeminate, an abuser of yourself with mankind, a thief, somebody that's covetous, a drunkard, a reviler, an extortioner. Oh, friend, listen. He said we were that before we came to Christ, but now that we're in Him and He's in us, we've been separated. We've been saved. But listen to me, friend. Listen to me. If we don't separate ourselves from the world, we'll lose our power. We've done lost our power, I'm afraid. And I want you to know, we need to get it. We need to get it, friend. Listen, it seemed like he had difficulty with taking his vows seriously. And I'm afraid too many people as Christians, professed Christians, have done. I'm the same today. Seemed like we've taken a strength that's available to us for granted. I'm telling you, friend, I believe Samson thought it would always be there. I believe for God. I believe he for God. He played a role in having it. My God, folks, we've got churches that tell you to come as you are, and they teach the message, leave as you were. Hey, listen, friend, I believe when we go to church, something ought to happen. When the King James Bible is preached, the Spirit of God moves, works in the hearts of sinners and saints together. Something ought to happen. Something ought to move. Something ought to change in our life. Bless God, we ought to be more like Christ today, less like the world today than we were yesterday. It seems to me, bless God, that he had a problem understanding, and that his power and hence his victory and his effect on his nations and those nations around him was directly related to his separation unto the Lord and not just from certain things. Seemed like Samson was either okay with breaking the vows that he had taken as a Nazarene, at one time, or he was totally oblivious to those things. So he broke the last one. And after he broke the last one, when it was done too late, he stood up, shook himself, and thought he'd go out like he did at other times when he took the gates or the doors of the gates of Gaza and carried them to the top of a hill. He woke up. He shook up. But he stood up powerless and empty because he had broke the vows of God. Samson was a very capable individual. On many, many levels, folks, he was. I mean to tell you, friend, but that may have aided to his downfall. Do you know that? I mean to tell you, it seemed like probably he relied on that, his strength, his abilities, more than he relied on God. And can I say this, and my time's running out. I'm afraid we see this too often in our churches today. Well, look, friend, let's face it. We know how to do church. We've become educated in so many ways. Bless God that we've even decided we know what's best to do in the church. Move things around like I told you Ahaz did a long time ago in the nation of Israel. We've even decided to delete and add things just as easy as we do on a computer. And bless God, we think we know what's best. We just add things. We take entertainment for edification. We'll put in dance and flag raising and running versus a clear declaration of the Word of God. We'll get a few people up in front doing worship and praise when the whole congregation ought to do it. Hey, friend, we've got a bunch of people that are being paid to do what the whole group ought to do. Oh, listen, friend, we've lost our power. Oh, we've got growth. I'll tell you, we got growth. But you hit a dog on Tuesday in the middle of a summer on the road. You go back by him on Friday. He'll be bigger on Friday than he was on Tuesday when you with him. But he's more dead, or as much dead on Friday as he is on Tuesday. When you hit him, or before he was dead. I'll tell you, friend, we do a lot of things to try to cover up our loss of power. The fact that we've lost our power with God. We've lost our spirit, but we've lost our power because we've lost our separation and our devotion to the Lord. You look, we may move things around. We may try to replace the things of God for what we think are bigger and better, just again like old Ahaz did. But I'll tell you what, friend, it doesn't get us the power that we need. Doesn't get us the power that the church ought to have. God intended for it to have. It once had, and we can have it again. But look, friend, we need only what God can provide. We need only what God can give. And I'm telling you, friend, it's that Pentecostal power that came at Pentecost. It's in that Spirit of God when we obey Him, when we give ourselves to Him, when we separate from the things of the world, yes, but more when we separate ourselves unto God, when we go to Him and say, God, if you don't do it, it won't be done. We need your touch. We need your unction. We need your anointing. We need your presence. We need your power. We need your Word. We need you, God. We need you. I'm telling you, things will change. Now look, I believe it's bad in a lot of places. I really do. I believe it's bad because a lot of these things I've mentioned and more. But if you read that 16th chapter of the book of Judges, it ends on a positive note. And bless God, when they captured old Samson, they put his eyes out, how they shaved his head, and he became weak. So weak that he did the work of a woman. How grinding the mills, they jeered at him. How they mocked him, and they're doing that in the church today. You know that. I mean, they're pointing fingers at us. They don't take us serious. We've lost our testimony just like a man by the name of Lot down at Sodom and Gomorrah did. Can I tell you though what happened? Thank God his hair began to grow. I believe he began to pray to God. Repent to God. And I believe God said, look, Samson, I'll give you your strength back. You know what happened? Samson died. When he got, victory over the Philistines, the enemies of Almighty God. Can I tell you what? Bless God, your hair can begin to grow. That external sign of your separation from God. If you'll go to God, get honest with Him. Repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I've missed it. I've replaced You with many things that are wrong, but I'm giving them up. I'm going back to You. Hey, God, it's Your power. It's Your will. It's Your word. It's Your work. It's Your way. Do you know what I believe God will do? I believe God will touch us. I believe God will forgive us. I believe God will empower us. I believe God will do something. Oh, friend, are we like Samson? Until the next time.
You are my Savior.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at this same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 10004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.
Share.